Good afternoon. Are you all still open to the Word of God? Is it still a good day? I'm going to read Psalms 1 again. Blessed is the man. Maybe I'll read it in first person. Blessed am I when I walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, when I don't sit in the seat of the scornful, but when my delight is in the law of the Lord, and I do meditate upon it day and night. And I will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit. And I will bring forth fruit. My leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever I do shall prosper. But if I am ungodly, it will not be so, but I will be like the chaff that's driven away, which the wind driveth away. When I am ungodly, I will not be able to stand in judgment. If I am any sinner, I will not be able to stand in the congregation of the righteous. If I am righteous, the Lord will know me. But if I am ungodly, I will perish. I'd like to greet you this afternoon with the words that our brother Simon Peter penned. I've been spending some time with him The last 24 hours, some sweet fellowship with Brother Peter. I don't know how Peter looked. I always imagined him to be kind of a short man with maybe a fiery red hair and beard and just kind of quick to talk and say what he thinks. And then maybe sometimes wondering if he meant to say that. But as he writes, beautiful. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So he's writing to all who have obtained the like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He's writing to all those who have been set free from the law of sin and death and have been made righteous by death on the cross and the resurrection. That's who he's writing to. So if that's you, he's writing to you. And he's saying, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. So if you want grace and peace multiplied, it's got something to do with the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and precious promises, that by these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The corruption that came upon the world, the corruption that came upon Adam and Eve because of their lust, because they were desiring to be wise. We may now be partakers of that divine nature again, be cleansed from that corruption, as it were, the Hulk manure. Ugh, that filth. We may be cleansed, we may escape from that. Through him, we may be made righteous again. Shall we pray? Lord Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We love you. And at this time, God, we just stand here before you in adoration, with openness, asking God that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. I know, Father, we've asked you so many times already. But your word tells us, even as a friend who needs a loaf of bread and knocks on the door, and because of the importunity, and you ask us to ask for the Holy Spirit, and you will give it. And we're here, God, just in faith, asking you to give us the Holy Spirit that we might be partakers of your nature by the Spirit dwelling in us, that we may know you. Father, we ask that you would write your words on our hearts and in our minds, that we would know your ways, that we would be able to be faithful, God, to the end. Lord, we need your help in this. The liar, the deceiver, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, the world is still here. The gates of hell are pressing in. And we thank you, Father, that you have given us the promise that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the church. And God, as we stand here in prayer before you with these young men and young women who are engaging in this battle, God, I pray your blessing upon them. I pray your power upon them. I pray that you would give them a vision and help them walk faithfully day by day. We commit this hour in your hands and just pray, Father, that you would minister to us. I pray you would touch my lips and that your word, not my words, but yours, would come forth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, brothers. If you remember the questions I asked you the first morning. Anybody remember them? Go ahead. Who are you? Where are you going? There was one before that. Why are you here? Why are you where you are? And that's deeper than just why are you in this church building, although that is a valid question. Why did you even come? Why did you come on this Saturday to be here? Did you ask yourself that question? Why am I going today? Did you ask yourself that question? There's so many things we do in life and we don't even really ask ourselves why. Why do I have 10 shirts in my closet? Why do I need 7 pairs of shoes? I was challenged this morning with Brother Abner. Thank you, Abner, for sharing. Is it okay to just learn from the wisdom of this world? Why are you where you are? What was the next question? Where are you going? And the last one, how are you going to get there? Do you have a plan? Do you know the way? Fortunately, the very same one who led us out of captivity said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. What did we learn yesterday? What did you take from yesterday? I know you all remember the fruit falling off, which, by the way, was not planned at all. That was completely not the intention of that demonstration. I believe it was God who wanted us to know that dead trees do not produce fruit. What else do you remember? Growth takes time. Growth is dependent on environment. Who chooses our environment? We do. We affect the environment. What's a very practical object in your house that affects the environment? Thermostat. Usually on the thermostat, there's also a thermometer. Are you a thermostat or are you a thermometer? Remember we thought about how the three Hebrew children affected the outcome of who was being worshipped in that day of worshiping the idol. And by the end of that prayer meeting or that worship service, they were worshiping the true and living God because they were thermostats and not thermometers. I was once talking with a young man, and he said, you know, it's good when preachers get up to preach and teach, but I think sometimes young people would get more out of the message if they'd be a part of studying the message, if they would help prepare the message. I was tempted to just make the message as we go today. And maybe we'll do a little bit of that. What have you needed to prepare a message for the title, Faithfulness in Fruit Bearing? Faithfulness in Fruit Bearing. We established that unless we are set free from the law of sin and death, and we are grafted into the olive tree that Romans 11 speaks about, we will not be able to bear fruit. Faithfulness and fruit bearing. There's one other thing that we talked about that we missed here. Do you remember anything about identity? What did you remember about identity? It was kind of a big mouthful, wasn't it?
It's our destiny.
Identity is your destiny in its infancy. Destiny is your identity full grown. So, when we think of the eternal destinies, how many options do we have?
Two?
Oh, that's right. Two. What are they called? Heaven and hell. What's the difference between heaven and hell? Just shout them out. What's the difference?
One is shining and one is blazing.
One is shining and the other's blazing. Yeah. Big difference, although similar.
With God or without God?
Thank you.
Torment and glory.
Torment and glory. Good.
Night and day.
Night and day. Harmony and anguish. Wow, I'm going to ask you all to help me prepare sermons some more. What's the difference between heaven and hell?
Peace and unrest.
Joy and wailing.
Love and hatred.
Amazing. Keep it coming. What's the difference between heaven and hell?
Eternal life and eternal damnation.
Praising God or gnashing our teeth.
Wow.
Confusion and order. Rejoicing and regret. So, what if I told you that those things are all correct, but really the only difference between heaven and hell is the choice that you make today? That's the only difference between heaven and hell. It's the choice that you make today. You don't need to worry about tomorrow, just today. Tomorrow will have enough trouble of its own. So the difference between heaven and hell is the choice that we make, not even the choices that we make tonight, but the choices that we make now. Like Abner was saying, we determine in our heart now where we are on some of these things. We think about why. Why am I here? Where am I going? How am I going to get there? What are the things along the way that will get me there? What are some of the things that might hinder me? What are some of the things that I need to be clear and understand where I am on? I'm sure you all remember our prison cell, right? I wish I would have told them to keep it for a little bit longer. I mean, of course, it's nice that it's gone, but in real life, there will always be the law of sin and death. And if you study on the law of sin and death, there will be a time when sin and death will be no more. Sin and death itself will be cast into hell. I just want to, again, make the plea that if you are still here, Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You ever had anybody knock on your door? Do you ever go to the door and there was nobody there anymore? Who knocked? What was that? When Jesus knocks on the door of your heart, let him in. If you think that maybe I don't want to right now, Lord Jesus, come later. Who are you to tell Jesus? Who are you to tell the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth when or when not to knock on your door? What if he never comes back? Did he promise that he will forever knock on your door? No. So I'm just asking, if you haven't, do respond when he knocks. And sometimes, even for us who have let Jesus in, the Holy Spirit says, you know, maybe it's more of a that area, that thing. Careful there. I'm going to read John 15. I invite you to open your Bibles and read with me. John 15 from verse 1 to verse 17. Okay, remember, we're preparing a message. What are you going to preach tomorrow about faithfulness and fruit bearing? Let's pick out three words as we read through this. Three words or word phrases that, as you think about it, you see them important in light of what our title is. Chapter 15, verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is the commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. What are the words or the word phrases that just kind of stood out to you? Abide in me. Very good. That's one. I am the vine. Very good. He purchased it. Beareth not fruit. Good. This side, were you all reading? Any word or words that maybe were more of a theme or stood out to you that... Keep my commandments. Good. I've got a feeling this is going to be a good message. Anything else? Continue ye in my love. Okay, good. I think we'll leave it at that. Thank you all. Now, you may be surprised, but one of the biggest challenges with preparing messages and preaching and teaching is not that there's a shortage of things to talk about, but rather that the Word of God is filled with so many things that we can teach and talk about and are valuable to know. So the challenge is in knowing and being open to what God wants to share with the people. To seek the Lord, because God knows you and 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 you, all of you, everyone. Not only does He know your name, He knows how many hair are in your head, He knows which way they're combed, He knows everything. Everything, to the very depth of your heart. I don't know those things. Abner doesn't know those things, but God does. And so when we prepare to share the Word of God, it's not for a shortage of words that is a challenge, but rather which of the words is going to speak to the ones who are hearing. It's God's Word. It's God speaking. Abide in me. I am the vine. Those two kind of go together. So we're saying, abide in the vine. Right? That'd be fair to say. He purges it. Again, he purchased what? He purchased the vine. Which vine? Oh, wait. Oh, does it say the vine beareth not fruit? Or the vine beareth fruit? Or branches? Difference there. Branch. Where are the branches attached? The branches are attached to the vine. What else does he say about the branches? If they bear not fruit, they shall be cut off, cast into the fire. Okay. Now, what's the difference if they're going to be cast into the fire or not? Because I certainly want to know if I'm a branch, I'm connected to the vine, and to stay on the vine, I have to do what? Bear fruit. Good. Let's bear fruit. You ready? Oh, I mean, if we go, wait. Bear fruit. I mean, trees bear fruit, right? How does a tree bear fruit? How am I to bear fruit? Have you ever seen anyone with fruit? Like growing fruit? Not quite ripe yet, but fruit is growing? Like bearing fruit, hanging fruit on? What is he saying? Bear fruit. Because we have to figure this out. If we don't bear fruit, if we don't figure out how to bear fruit, and we can't just use the Makita and the DeWalt or the sewing machines, and is that what he's talking about? Making fruit? It doesn't say making fruit, it says bear fruit. Do you think it's important we figure out what he's talking about? I think so, because if we don't understand what he's talking about in bearing fruit, then we're going to be cut off as branches and cast into the fire, which is to say, being cast into hell. How are we going to tell the people this tomorrow in our message that they understand? Bear fruit. Bear fruit. Now let me give you another clue. When there's sometimes questions, the word has a good way of kind of explaining itself. So let's think about scriptures that come to your mind about fruit. Maybe God somewhere in his word would give us some ideas about fruit. Any scriptures come to your mind about fruit? Fruit of the Spirit. Can we quote that together? It's in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Again, such there is no law. And then it says, and, is this a fruit too? And they which are Christ's have crucified the flesh and the lust thereof. Why does it say and? And what? And, like, it's this girl and that girl. Like, it's they're together, right? That's interesting. Well, that's good. So, fruit, we think about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's also interesting to note that it doesn't say the fruit of the Spirit, but rather the fruit of the Spirit. So when you eat an apple, how would you describe that fruit? If you were to describe the fruit to someone, how would you describe it? How would you describe an apple to someone? They can't see. It's red. Good. It's sweet. Crisp. What else? How would you describe it?
Juicy.
Okay. But we could be pretty well, I don't know. I mean, we're still pretty close to like a cherry. No? It's red. It's crisp.
Crunchy.
Crunchy. Round. We're getting close. Does it have a skin? Does it have seeds? Does it have stem? Has a core. So we see that an apple is all these parts, but we call it an apple, right? It's the fruit. And I think of Galatians 5, and it'd be interesting discussion sometime when we have time, talk about, so when we say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, anger.
Well, I mean, or maybe it's the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. It doesn't have meekness, doesn't have temperance, doesn't have peace. Is it possible to have the Spirit and have fruit? And I think what we're establishing here is that bearing fruit is not something that we can do on our own. Or can we? Let's continue. Let's continue thinking about scriptures. How about John 12, verse 23? Says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Huh. So if a seed die, then it'll bring forth much fruit. And I think if you remember the sunflowers, those seeds that we put in the soil died. But they will bring more fruit than when they were alive. It continues there in John 12. It says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Another scripture that comes to mind. Maybe all of you have one. Any other scripture about fruit come to your mind? Even if you don't know the whole thing. Even if you don't know where it's found. Fruit. Yeah, Joseph. "By the fruits ye shall know them." By your fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 12, verse 33 says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit." So, when we see a tree with fruit, we say it's an orange tree because it has oranges on it. But if they just fall off as time goes on, it's probably not an orange tree. "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall do, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Does that give us any kind of picture about bearing fruit? Because if we don't bear fruit, we will be cut off. Any other scriptures that come to mind about bearing fruit? Yes. The fruit of righteousness is... Can you read it again? Ah, we go back to what Jesus was saying about peacemakers. Fruit of righteousness is sown of them. That's good. That's good. Do any of you remember anything about a sower going forth to sow? You remember that? Let's read that in Matthew 13. Maybe that would give us some idea about bearing fruit. I'm going to read in from verse 18 to 23, which is where Jesus was describing the meaning of the parable to his disciples. He said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any man heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not." Understandeth it not. Well, what can you do if you don't understand it? Sorry, I don't understand that. Okay, well, not a big deal. "The wicked one cometh and catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is he that received the seed by the wayside." So what if you are that person? Is it just... Let's look at the word understandeth. When we look at the word understandeth in Greek, It also means considereth. So as we hear the word, and we don't consider the word, if this morning when you heard Abner talk about, what did Abner talk about this morning? Prayer? Giving? Investing? If when you heard Abner talk about these things, you didn't consider them. You just went, interesting. So what? Then the devil, the wicked one, takes it away. It won't have any effect in your heart. And therefore, will it bring fruit? Oh, will it bring fruit? Does that give us any idea about what he's talking about, bearing fruit? But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word... What word do you think he was talking about there? Tribulation or persecution because of the word. God's word. By and by, he is offended. So, it's all good. Praise the Lord. We're out of captivity. We're out of the mess. We're cleaned up. We're forgiven all of our transgressions. And everything is good. But then Abner comes along and he just messes it all up. And he says that we can't, whatever offended you. You follow? We're all glory, glory about the word, and we hear the word, and we're converted, and it's all good. But then they say something that is too hard for us to do. I'm not doing that one. And we become offended. So we took it on, we grew for a bit, and then we got offended. Verse 22, he also that received the seed among the thorn is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He becometh unfruitful. Would unfruitful and beareth not fruit be somewhat similar? You think those would be same? Becometh unfruitful. Now why? The word went out, it grew, and then the deceitfulness of riches. How did captivity ever come into the scene? How did the law of death, sin and death happen? Beguiled. The serpent beguiled me, tricked me, deceived me. So the deceitfulness of riches. Warren Buffett thinks that he did well. But unless he has found the Lord Jesus, unless he has made a change in his life, at some point that $93 billion will not buy his way to heaven. $93 billion is a drop in the bucket compared to the wealth in heaven. It's nothing. It's nothing. So, I so much appreciated the whole series of messages that Abner had about culture and Christ. It's just so simple. Our culture. Go to America. Get rich. Go to Holmes County. Get rich. Start your own business. Yes. And the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word. Somehow, we believe the lie that having more money is better. And when we have more money, it would be better to have more money. And it's the deceitfulness of riches that causes us then to not have time to study the word. It chokes out the word. Or you are so engaged in becoming wealthy and having way more money than you ever need that you don't have time to come today or wherever the Lord might call you to serve. So the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He stops bearing fruit. And when you stop bearing fruit, what happens? We get cut off, cast into the fire. Is that a scary thought to any of you? Is it a sobering thought to think about not bearing fruit and being cut off from the vine? And the vine is who? Jesus. It would be the very same thing that happened to Adam and Eve in the garden when they were in relationship with God. God came and walked with them. He was with them. There was perfect harmony. And that's what we have now. We have that harmonious relationship as long as we don't obey this voice, the voice of sin and death. As long as we aren't deceived by the culture. Verse 23 says, "But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30." So some of the words went forth, went into good soil, they sprung up. There could be so many analogies. But if the word lands on your heart, and then you go and you share it with 100 people, is that what it means to bring forth 100-fold? Any other scriptures that come to your mind about fruit?
What you sow, you will reap.
What you sow, you will reap. Ooh. That's a good one. What you sow, you will reap. How do you sow? Good thought. I'd like to share this one that I found in Luke chapter 13, verse 6. He also spoke a parable, and I believe this parable is talking about the patience that God has, how much He wants you to bear fruit. Right? He's not just walking along here and saying, just cut him off, cut her off, He doesn't have that attitude. Jesus spake this parable, and he said, "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none." So for 3 years he had come to find fruit, and there wasn't any fruit. And he said, "Cut it off. Why cumbereth it the ground?" And he answering said unto him, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it." I think that's what Jesus does when God says, "What's going on with David down there? Why doesn't he have any fruit? Cut him off." And Jesus says, wait. Let's dig around. Let's give him some more time. "And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." Okay, fruit. Are we any closer in understanding what it means to bear fruit? We at least have some scriptures. Fruit. What is fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. I think that is what comes out of our life. Keep going here. I think this one is key right here. "Keep my commandments." Let's go back to John 15 and let's just look at that again. John 15, what does he say about it? He says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide." Right? So here it says,
abide in me, and if we want to abide in him, we must keep his commandments. You follow that? Y'all want to stand up? Abner said when he walks around, he has a hard time sleeping. I think just standing up might do the trick. Keep my commandments. Verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Oh. Did you hear that? This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And the verse before, he said, if ye could keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. So abiding in him is keeping his commandments. One of his commandment is that we love one another. So to abide in him, staying in him, one of the things is to keep his commandments, which is to love one another. And John says, if we love one another, then the world will know that we are his disciples. So if we want to change the world, if we care about the people, then let us love one another. You may be seated. What are some words that come to your mind when you think of keep my commandments? Like, what would be another way of saying keep my commandments? Anything come to your mind? Doeth the will of my Father. Now, did you perhaps think that this whole Christian life is about believing, right? Jesus said, if we don't believe on him, we cannot enter into his rest. So what is this doing thing? Doeth the will of my Father. That's beautiful. Doeth the will of my Father. Do you think, perhaps, that bearing fruit has something to do with doing? Doing. Well, let's... Now, I know you don't have concordances here, so I'm not going to ask you to find a bunch of scriptures, but if you have any come to mind about doing, let's hear them. Okay? Matthew 12, verse 46. And we'll read down to verse 50. Matthew 12, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, this was Jesus' question, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, toward you. And he said, behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my mother and sister and my brother and sister and mother. Do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Makes a difference between being Jesus' brother or not. And we could think of some scriptures that talk about we are partakers with him, fellow heirs, meaning we're going to inherit with him. You only inherit with someone if you are their brother or sister, right? If you have the same parents, that means you get the inheritance with each other. So if we are to inherit with Jesus, then that means we need to be his brother. And if we want to be his brother, we need to do his will. Do his will. John 13, verse 13 through 17. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than him that sent him. If ye know these things. Now, this was specifically in the context of feet washing. But what about all the other things that Christ said? If you know these things, happy or blessed are ye if ye do them. Doing something and keeping commandments, I think, are the same. They're the same thing. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So what is the difference between heaven and hell? It's not the ones that say, but the ones that do. This might be kind of a counterculture message.
You don't get to heaven by works. Can't just do good works and get to heaven. And that is very true.
You cannot get out of captivity by doing good works. You can't do so many good works that you stack up a whole bunch of good works and climb over the top and get out. This doesn't work. You cannot get out of prison without or with good works. But once you are set free, once you are attached to the vine, the evidence that you are drawing life from that vine is there will be fruit. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Didn't we go to Bible school and teach for 3 whole days? Didn't we cast out devils? And in thy name did many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. What was the difference? Do you think they didn't do those things? Probably. Do you think there's such a thing as doing and not being? I think so. We can do things but not be. We can try to do things and do what the Bible says is good works. Like it looks good from the outside until things start falling off, until you see the tape and the strings. And then you realize, they're just doing it. But if we are, we will be doing. I wrote here, being is doing. So if you are, you will be doing. But doing doesn't mean that you are being. Jesus actually addressed that in Matthew chapter 7. He said, well, hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, they in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, they hold the tradition of men as washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. They were doing things that appeared to be religious, but didn't even keep God's commandment of loving each other. Doing. Bearing fruit is doing what Jesus said. You remember the song that goes, the wise man build his house upon the rock? Y'all know that one? The rains came tumbling down. and the house on the rock stood firm. What was the difference? Foundation. What was the foundation? Rock. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 7. And now remember, this is right after all the teaching that Abner has been giving us. Right? This is after all of these things. So this can apply to us very, very well today. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, him will I liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came down, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, it's just one little word difference there. You got it? Doeth them not. Him will I liken unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came down, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This is a parable. And what it's saying is that when we hear the word of God, and we do them, young men and young women, My burden today is that there's many young men and young women that want out of the box. They profess the name of Christ, and it's very clear by their testimony that there is a changed life. I have no doubt that in all sincerity, they have been born again. And then they fall and fall and fall. Temptations just get them down. You suppose there's any chance that they hear the word of God, but the culture is so powerful, or they are more concerned about the culture than doing it, or they just simply don't think about the importance of doing it. They quench the Spirit. The Spirit comes when Jesus is teaching and it's kind of difficult to fast. Not much. Well, I could maybe not drink water for an hour or two. Maybe that'd be fasting. Or, yeah, do you follow what I'm saying? If we do not do the things that we hear, and I think that's the difference, and it's something that's very important when we think about growth. Right? We talked about growth taking time, and the growth is dependent on the environment. The growth of a tree or a plant that is in optimal condition will be many, many, many times faster. So the question is, are you doing the things that you hear? Because if you hear the word and you don't do them, it's kind of like the sun's shining, but you're so high up in altitude that there's no heat there. So yeah, the sun's shining, but you're not doing what it says. And it's not affecting your life. It's not making a difference in your life. So when you don't do what Jesus says, by and by, he will cut you off. By and by, he will cut you off. And thankfully, I am not the judge. And Jesus even said he is not the judge. He said, I came to judge no man, but the word will judge you. So we are without excuse. Not only do we have the written word of God, we have the promise of the heart written on our hearts, and we have all of creation that speaks to us about who God is and what he wants us to do. So when we hear, whether it's by preaching, whether it's by reading, whether it's in our prayer time, whatever it might be, when God says do, and we hear the sayings of his, but we don't do them, it's in my, maybe a way to think about it is when we don't do it, it's kind of like taking another step closer to the law of sin and death, to the pleasure of the world. And then Jesus says, do this. And we don't do it, and then we step a bit closer. And then Jesus says, do that. And then we don't do it. And now we're pretty close, and we can smell the barbecue, and we can smell the allurement of the things in this place called world. And we're tempted to even look inside and say, yeah, I remember actually. That was kind of, that was a thrill, wasn't it? I kind of enjoyed that ride on the roller coaster one time when, you know, maybe, you know what? I don't think it's all that bad. And the temptation is the rains come down and the floods come up. But because you did not do what you heard, your house will fall flat. I wasn't sure how to bring this message to a close. To most effectively encourage you to stay faithful, to most effectively communicate to you the love that God has for you, to most effectively inspire you, challenge you, encourage you to be faithful until the day that you take your last breath, to encourage you to have a vision for the right destiny, to make the right choices today. How can I best do that? What I think I will do, so I have a number of scriptures here, and I think we're going to just turn to these scriptures and just read them. And I would like for you to just listen to these words as if God is speaking, because He is. It's just my vocal cords and my lips that are pronouncing the words of God for you to hear. So may this be an encouragement as we read this. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 5 through 15. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Deeds is what we do. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles, for there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, and their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Now we could have a message on that, but we won't. Meditate on it. If there's questions, bring them up in your discussion group. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 8 through 23. Maybe we'll read chapter 5, verse 20, and continue into chapter 6. Actually, let's just break into verse 8 on chapter 6. Now, If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves also dead, indeed, unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. When our fruit today, the identity, is holiness, the end is everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through my own power and strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Will you turn with me to chapter 8 of Romans, verse 31? And there is so much in here that we're kind of skipping over. So please study these chapters and prepare many messages. Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Beautiful. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I would just add there, the only thing that can separate us from the love of God is if we do not keep His commandments, if we do not love Him more than we love the world, if we do not obey Him, but we obey Satan. That's the only thing that can separate us. Romans chapter 11, verse 18 through 23. Romans chapter 11, verse 18. This is in the context of Paul writing to the Gentiles who seemingly had lifted themselves up a bit above the Jewish people, and maybe were kind of feeling proud about it. So that's the context that we're reading this. Verse 18. Boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Remember, the vine, you aren't supporting the vine is supporting you. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, the Jews were broken off. Thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is by nature, which is wild by nature, and wert graft contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which the natural branches be graft into their own olive tree? We were taken from the wild olive tree. We were Gentiles. We were not God's people, and God grafted us by his Son Jesus Christ into this. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. And I want to clarify here that I do not profess to understand these verses fully or totally, but they are the Word of God. And I am reading them because I believe it's important for us to be sober-minded and consider the weightiness of choosing sin instead of choosing righteousness, holiness, and obedience to the Word of God. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. As we know God from all his work with the children of Israel, God is for those who turn. He wants repentance. I believe this is primarily speaking about people who have fallen away. And that fallen away means to turn away, to deny, to just reject. I want to encourage you to read the first Peter chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. And just think about what Peter is communicating in light of what we talked about here in being faithful, in bearing fruit. Just read those Would you be able to read them three times? Read through Peter 1, 2, 3, and 4, a minimum. And I'm not going to give you a maximum, but a minimum of three times in the next 30 days. How many of you would be able to commit to doing that? No pressure from anybody else, but if you could, I'd like to have a commitment. Reading three times, Peter, 1 Peter 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's four chapters. Three times. So you need to read 12 chapters in 30 days. I would encourage you to do that. I want to, in closing here, read 2 Peter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. The first four verses are what I read to you in the beginning, how he gave us everything that we need that pertains to life and to godliness. In verse 5, it says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, brotherly kindness." I'm sorry. "To patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if, it's important if you do these things, I'm sorry, if these things be in you and abound," meaning they increase to do or to make more, if they're increasing these things that we just read, "they shall make that you shall not be barren nor unfruitful."
It shall make that you shall not be unfruitful. When you add to the faith that you have, when you crouch down before the cross and you came out of captivity, you were baptized, you arose with Christ, that's faith. "By faith are ye saved through grace, not of yourself, it is a gift of God." It's the gift of God. Remember the box. It's the gift of God. That's how you are saved. Now you add to your faith virtue and all these things. It said if these things are abounding and growing, it shall make that you shall never be unfruitful. Which means that you can abide in the vine. You won't be cut off. Is that exciting? I think that's the answer. Study those. And let's make sure that those things are abounding. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He can't see his destiny. He can't see how his choices will affect his eternity, his destiny. He's blind. Can't see afar off because these things are not in a person. And that's forgotten. He forgot all about the things that he was purged from. If we don't have virtue and knowledge and temperance and godliness and brotherly love, brotherly kindness and charity, if those things aren't in us, we're going to forget that. And we're not going to be fruitful. "Wherefore the rather, brothers and sisters, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Do you believe the Bible to be true? You shall never fall. And that would be such a relief for me if I knew that you're not going to fall. And that in the divine body, when your eyes are closed, and the last breath leaves your body,